So we're holding by the Mishnah on Daf Yutes Mabez at the bottom. We're back into more issues of what one cannot do on Erev Shabbos. Now, just before we get there, one point on what we spoke out in the Gemara prior, we said that you're allowed to leave the beam, both Beishameh and Beisil, even Beishameh agrees, you could leave the beams on top of the crushed, the grapes and the olives that already were crushed, because all you're doing is hastening the liquid to come out. It was going to come out anyway, but leaving the beam on just hastens it, and hastening the process is not a halachas. When I was learning Rabbi Kanner yesterday, he pointed out the Chara very shtaker kasha. We know by Bishel, if one person goes and puts the food on the fire, he's chayav bishul. If someone else comes and stokes the coals or mixes, does something else to hasten the cooking, the second person is chayav bishul as well. So hastening the cooking by bishul is a chayav. Over here, hastening the liquid coming out, remember, liquid coming out of the grapes, liquid coming out of the olives, to remind ourselves, is a malach of mefarik. You're separating the liquid from the solid. That is a concept of mefarik. We're saying it's okay because it was going to happen anyway, you're just hastening it. So why by bishul, when you're just hastening the bishul, is it a problem of bishul derais, it's a malacha, and here not. So he answered, I think also Gishmak Svara, that by bishul, it's not just a matter of hastening. Just hastening a process would not be enough to, if it was going to happen anyway, to be mechayev. By bishul, you're also, what is bishul? Bishul, as explained by the Mefarshim, is altering the status of an item via heat. And by the way, it's not just food. You can have bishul on metals, right? If you melt metals and you reform them, or you change them, you purify them, that's also a form of bishul. Bishul is altering the status of an item via heat, right? So you're doing a creative change. So there's a fundamental chiluk between the case of bishul and the case of squeezing the liquids out. In both cases, you're right, you're just hastening. And hastening alone would not be a chiyuv malacha. But in bishul, you're also achieving, during your hastening, you're altering the status of an item through heat. So you're doing a creative malacha with hastening, and therefore, it's going to be malacha derais. So whereas by mefarik, you're really just separating two items. And echnami, there's a malacha mefarik. We're not saying there's no such thing as malacha mefarik, but you're hastening something that was going to happen anyway. You're not creating necessarily something fully new. It's going to happen anyway. And therefore, over there, you're not chayav hastening, because bishul you are. That could be a svara, but again, a good shtar or a good point to point out, to contemplate why over here hastening is a problem, why over there not. He gave us for the answer, but it's something to keep in mind. Zakta Mishnah. Ain't selim baser butzel. We quoted this Mishnah twice in yesterday's Gemara. One is not allowed to roast meat, onions, or eggs unless it's going to be roasted. We'll see the Gemara how much has to be roasted. Unless it's roasted, while still Friday. Over here, we don't see Beis Hillel arguing. Remember, in the last Mishnayos, it was Ol Beishameh that was saying you can't do these things on Friday unless it's done before Shabbos. And Rabbi Zil said, no problem. As long as my malacha is done before Shabbos, it's fine. As long as I'm not doing malacha Shabbos, it's fine. Here, Beis Hillel doesn't argue. The Rashash points out. Why? Because like he spoke out of the Gemara yesterday, that Beis Hillel is concerned about Shamei Chata. You may come to stoke the coals. So if it's not ready, cooked before Shabbos, there is a concern you may come to stoke the coals. And therefore Beis Hillel would agree you cannot cook meat, onions or eggs, unless it's roasted before Friday is finished, before Shabbos, has to be roasted. Now, we did point out yesterday, just to chazer over quickly, Shulchan Aruch brings that there are exceptions, even though Beis Hillel also is concerned about Shamei Chata, by a Kidra Chaisa, if you're putting in a raw piece of meat, which will for sure not be ready tonight, and will be ready for sure by the morning, no concern about stoking the coals. Remember, we qualified that we no longer are Seimach and Kidra Chaisa, because our ovens work faster, or Kara Chaisa, that thing when we spoke about a raw gourd, a raw squash, that the ear is bad for it. A gedi, it's going to come up again today, a baby goat, the air is bad for it, so you're not going to open the oven door to stoke the coals. So we said there's exceptions when there's no concern of stoking the coals. But when there's a concern of stoking the coals, it has to be cooked, even according to Beis Hillel, and we'll see when we start the Gemara, how much it has to be cooked, what's considered fully cooked. A nice pasatanim chashecha, one cannot put bread into the oven as it's getting dark, nor could he make like a charoz, like a cookie, some sort of cake-like pastry on the gecholim, on the coals, ella kadeshikim rupanem b'yayim. Unless both the cake and the cookie and the bread is already browned, the face of it's already browned while it's still day, so it's already baked enough that you're not, no concern again that you're going to stoke the coals. Rabbi Elazar Aimer kadeshikim hatachtin. Rabbi Elazar qualifies and says it has to be that the tachtin, the bottom, is already crusted. What does it mean bottom? Does he mean to say that when you have, they used to put the bread against the oven wall, right? They used to slap it on the oven wall. So does the bottom mean the side that's connected to the wall? Or does the bottom mean the side that's open to the fire? That's going to be a question tomorrow, and the deeper question is Rabbi Elazar coming to be machmer on the chamim, or is it coming to be more lenient? Is he requiring more baked or less baked? The Gemara is going to discuss that. Okay, Zakta Mishnah Vayter. You could lower the Karban Pesach into the oven close to nightfall and let it roast on Shabbos. We're talking about when Pesach falls out on Friday night, and we're saying you're allowed to roast the Karban Pesach into Shabbos. Over here, we're not being makvid that it's fully cooked beforehand. Why is that? Why is that? Because Rashi explains, Rashi speaks out really the Gemara, that the Pesach is eaten with the Chabura, and when there's a Chabura there, the Bnei Chabura are Mezarz and Zezeh, they're careful about each other to make sure that no one was going to stoke the coals. It sounds like from Rashi, it's tough when you're eating the Karban Pesach in a group. If you're not eating in a group, you would have this concern, which by the way, of course, is the most obvious case. Who's going to eat a full, the Karban Pesach was roasted complete as a full gedi, it was roasted whole. Typically, it was eaten together. Again, a person could take his piece and go privately, but it was eaten by Chabura, and therefore that's the norm, and therefore it's not an issue because people will remind each other, they're going to be careful, they're going to remind each other about not being every nisa. Later, we're going to find a similar idea of Zriza by Kehanim specifically. Over there, it seems to be Kehanim do not need the Chabur to be Zaras. They're Zaras even individually, whereas the rest of Klai Yisrael, seemingly, they're Zaras as in a Chabura of Karban Pesach, but maybe Yisraelim individually would not be Zaras. We'll reference that again later in the Gemara. We'll see there's actually Nafkamina, seemingly Nafkamina Lamaisa from the Mefarshim based on that. Okay, so like the Mishnah Vayter, Umachizim Esar Maduris Beis Hamikdash. You could also light the fire in Maduris Beis Hamikdash. Beis Hamikdash, of course, was the chamber of the fire. Rashi explains that having the fire there was very important. Besides being a source of fire, Rashi said the big purpose of the Beis Hamikdash was the Kohanim used to be just like you're not supposed to have a chitzitza between the hands and the kelim. There wasn't supposed to be a chitzitza between the Kohanim's feet and the floor. The floor of the Azara was stone. In many months of the year, it can get very cold, and therefore they used to go into the Beis Hamikdash. It was a place of heat, a place of fire to warm up their feet to warm up themselves up. So we're saying that you're allowed to ignite the fire in the Beis HaMikdash close to nightfall on Friday. We're not concerned about being over on some sort of having the fire to continue to grow on Shabbos, about being over on Shabbos. The Rambam points out that the Beis HaMikdash, he says, was mainly there just to have fire for the Mizbeach. He doesn't speak out this idea of Rashi of there to warm up the Kanim. Okay, we're going to explain it with Rashi. It'll come up later in Gemara, this idea of why Beis HaMikdash is not a problem. Uva Gvulim, outside the Beis HaMikdash, Kedeshiyachos Arberubay. In the Beis HaMikdash, you just light the fire, you ignite it, and even though the fire takes hold and starts to grow, as Shabbos starts, we're not afraid that you're going to stoke the coals and mess up. Whereas the Gvulin outside the Beis HaMikdash, you have to have the fire already basically lit. It's caught onto most of the wood before Shabbos while it's still day. Otherwise, we're scared you're going to stoke the coals and you're going to make more havara. Rabbi Yehuda Eimer, when it comes to charcoal, even if you ignited a drop, charcoal, the way it works is once it's a drop lit, it continues to light on its own and continues to fire, continues to grow. There's no concern that you're going to stoke the coals. So when it comes to lighting charcoal, once the coals are lit, even partially, even a little bit before Shabbos, that is sufficient. Okay. Zakti Gemara. The Kama. So when we said in the first line of the Mishnah,
Gemara, did you want to address the change of Lashon of Impas Sheikha? The Mishnah goes from Impas Sheikha to Mevoid Yom to then Impas.
That's a good point. I didn't notice. You have something to say on that? I didn't notice that. It's a difference. Imcha Sheikha and Bayyam could be a different time. Imcha Sheikha is mashma closer to Shabbos, but Bayyam is mashma further away. So, yeah, it's a good diak. That's a very good diak. Shkayach. Let's taste the yant mix the diak. Shkayach. Vikama. So, what is considered roasted? We said that you can only put the meat, the onion, and the egg on the fire erev Shabbos, but Bayyam, as long as it's roasted before Shabbos. What's called roasted? What's called cooked enough? Says the Gemara, famous idea. Amar Blazar Mrav, Kadesh Yitzilim B'Bayyem Kamach Bendrasoy. It has to be cooked B'Bayyem Kamach Bendrasoy. Again, famously, Bendrasoy was a ganev, and he didn't have time to cook his food fully. He's always on the run. He's always on the lam. So he would cook his food partially and eat it. So as long as it was cooked enough for Bendrasoy to eat, which is what Rashi says? How much is Bendrasoy? Rashi says 1/3 cooked. Machal Bendrasoy, according to Rashi, is 1/3 cooked. Rambam argues, Rambam says it's a half cooked, which comes out, it's a big machlekes, it's a big nafkmin, a big chumra. According to Rambam, it's not called cooked till it's a half cooked. If less than that, would be a problem of leaving it before Shabbos. And this is a big topic, of course, in Perek Kira, coming up in the third Perek, about the dinim of Shia, Chazar, and Atmana, that the shear of being cooked enough, at least according to Chananya, that you don't have to worry about having a blech, having garf akatam, getting rid of the coals or covering the coals, is the shear of machal ben desoy. According to Rashi again, it's a third cook. According to Rambam, it's a half cooked. So once it's cooked that amount, we no longer have to worry he's going to stoke the coals because it's already cooked. It's already cooked enough. The Chazanish in Simen Lamed Zayin is actually curious. How do you tell something's a third cooked? What does that mean, a third cooked? It's a cooking is qualitative. So it's a third of the amount that you want it to be qualitatively cooked, he has a very difficult time with that. And therefore he says, you know what it means? If the cooking time is an hour, if it was cooked for 20 minutes, a third cooked is a third of the zman of cooking. That's what Chazon says. Or a half cooked, according to Rambam, is a half of the zman of cooking. Which is interesting because a half cooked, which is, let's say, supposed to cook for an hour, you cook it halfway, it may not even be half ready by half the time. Or the other way, it could be it gets exponentially better, more cooked, either early in the process or later in the process. Lav dafka does it equate the time cooking to the qualitative amount of it being cooked. Lamaisa Chaznish doesn't had a hard time understanding. He felt it's difficult to quantify what a third and half cooked is, and therefore he makes it totally in zman. However, the other achronim disagree, and they say no, you could have a general ashara, what's called a third of its needed cooking or half of its needed cooking, and therefore they stick with the qualitative amount, not based on zman. Shulchan Aruch rules like the Rambam on the basic halacha on this, and he says you need to have half cooked, which is a chumrah. Magen Avraham says that he's being machmir, but the ikur din of Shabbos, why? Al chumrah the Shabbos very chumrah, but really ikur din, a third cook of grashi is the psak, and in the Shulchan Aruch himself, the Beis Esav, in a few places does reference the shear of a third cook, so it seems like the Magen Avraham is saying that it was a chumrah because of Shabbos, but not that he really holds all over that a third cook, that a half cooked is the shear, maybe a third cook is the shear, and the place can therefore say that perhaps one could be makel in certain instances to rely on Rashi, because even the Mechaber who passes like Rambam, who typically passes like Rambam, and passes like Rambam, elsewhere does quote Rashi Shita. Shulchan Aruch Harav indeed paskins like Rashi that all you need is a third cooked. You don't need a half cooked. He's more lenient. All you need is a third cooked. Okay. Says the Gemara in Shdi Alacha Amar Blazam Rav Kidei Shitzolim Bayayim Kamach Mendesai Sari Itmar Nami Amar Basi Amar Bechanan Kol Shul Kamach Mendesai Ein by Mishum Bishul Makrim Big Alacha. Anything that's cooked from already Shia Machem Mendesai does not have a din of Bishul Akam. We know there's an issue to eat something that's cooked by Gayim, so Bishul Akam is Aser, but if it's already cooked Machem Mendesai and then the guy cooks the rest, that's not considered an issue of Bishul Akam, because again, it's already considered cooked. The obvious question is, we know we do much less than that. Ashkenazim, we simply turn on the fire and the guy puts the food on. It wasn't cooked Machem Mendesai, it was cooked nothing. We just put on the fire and the guy puts on the food. That's considered already good enough for eat. And even by Svardim, by the way, who are not Tzemech, and that Svardim hold, that's not good enough for the Yid to put in the fire. The Yid has to put the food in the pot as well. Then the guy could be busy with it, watching it, stoking it, right? But you can't just put it in the fire and let the guy fry a schnitzel for you if you're a Svardi. If you go based on the Mechaber, you have to actually put the food in the fire. Fine. But even according to the Svardim, you don't have to wait till it's Machem Mendesai. So what's going on over here? So the Mefarshim explained very simple. It's Pashup Shat. That Enechanami, in a case where you did what you're supposed to do, whether it's putting on the fire or putting the food on the fire, right, that avada and the food ultimately cooks that way. No issue of bishlakam. We're talking about a case where food was already partially cooked. It started cooking, and then for whatever reason, the fire went out. The food was taken off the fire, and now the guy resumed the cooking. When a guy resumes the cooking, if it wasn't cooked enough, that would still be an issue of bishlakam, because even though you put the original fire on, ultimately it got cooked with a fire, with a flame that was lit by the guy. If it was ready, Machem Mendesai, that's what's saying over here, it won't be an issue because it already was cooked enough to be considered a food, and therefore it's not an issue. Big chiddush, huge chiddush from the Radvaz. We're comparing the din of Bishul Akam with the din of Shabbos. And we're saying that since Machem Mendesai is considered cooked for Shabbos, it's also considered cooked for the Gavi Bishul Akam. Says Radvaz, I'll give you another comparison. Just like by Bishul Akam, something which is Nechal Chai, something which is edible raw, there's no din Bishul Akam. Food that's edible raw, we say there's no din Bishul Akam on it because you could eat it raw anyway, and therefore even if the guy cooks it, no Bishul Akam. So too, food that's edible raw would have no din of Bishul on Shabbos. Mind-blowing. Shabbos, the halacha of Bishul is, it's not about whether you're able to eat it raw or not. It's by altering, we said before, altering the status of a food via heat. You're changing its metzias via heat. So even if you could have eaten it before, by changing the status via heat, that's considered a malacha pashtas. Sedra Vazno? Just like by Bishul Akam, Nechel Chai is no din of Bishul Akam, so too by Shabbos, Nechel Chai would have no din of Bishul. Again, the Mefarshim, Rabbi Yitzchak Engel, and Asvaz in the Raisa, he says, is a Pella. We know that Bishul Akam, the main Yisrael, was that you shouldn't get close to the Goyim, you shouldn't have relationships with them, and eating their cooked food could lead to chasnas, and it could lead to problems. So a food that's Nechel Raw, a food that's eaten raw, so we say it doesn't create such a camaraderie, it doesn't create such a connection, and therefore the gezerah didn't apply. But again, by Shabbos, like we just spoke out, Shabbos, the issur is making a creative change in an item through heat. You're certainly doing that even if it was edible raw, and therefore Avadi says 100% it would be an issur of Shabbos even to cook something that is edible raw. Big chiddush from the Radvaz, and Rabbi Yosef Engel takes issue. Okay. Great question. I would say l'chari, yeah. I would say l'chari, it's an issue. on the face of it, my guess would be it's an issue. I don't want to say 100%, but I would say that's an issue. The same way Macha ben Desai is cooked enough to take off the issue of Bishlakam, so if the guy cooked it that much, I would say, we do find that if he just adds a kisim, he does a drop in the beginning, that's sufficient, right? But once it's a food already cooked, I would assume it's an issue. Again, I could be wrong, but I would assume that's an issue. Okay, we have to verify that. Fine. Zok the Gemara, Tanya. Chananya says, this is the famous idea in the next paragraph that we reference. Chananya says, whatever is cooked machamed asai, you're allowed to leave it on the kira of afapisha and grew from vikatim. A little background over here in the third paragraph, we've referenced this already a few times. There's a concepts of shia chazarat mana. You're not allowed to leave food on the fire because you make up and stoke the coals. You're not allowed to put food in the fire because it looks like you're cooking on Shabbos. You're not allowed to leave food on the fire with that's covered, that's wrapped, because again, it looks like a form of cooking or Shabbos, or you make up and stoke the coals. So the general way to take care of, let's just focus on Shia. Leaving food in the fire from before Shabbos. The general way to take care of Shia is garif or cut them. Either you comb away the coals, you comb them away, garif, cut them, or you cover the coals. You put some sand on the coals. That's what you used to do back in the day. You cover the coals, which would A, be a hecker. It was a hecker to remind you not to stoke the coals. B, it would actually minimize, by minimizing the fire, the heat of the flame, you're demonstrating that, you know, you're not so stressed about the flame cooking, and therefore you're not going to stoke the coals. That is the general ways to save an issue of Shia, and we use it till today. We don't use the garf so much. We don't get rid of our coals. We don't have coals. We just have, you know, we have gas ovens or electric ovens. We have flames, but we do cut them. We do ktima. We do a blech. Chazanish Agav, on the side point, Chazanish says that our blechs are no good. Chazanish does not hold of our blechs because our blechs are metal. They just conduct heat. They do not minimize the fire. The idea of a blech back then, we spoke out, was to be a hecker, and the sand minimized the flame. It minimized the fire of the coals. It made it a little weaker. Our blech doesn't do that for the most part, and therefore he was not a fan of the blech that we use. Again, almost all the places can hold, it's okay, and we don't have to change. But the Chazanish makes a very valid point that one of the miles of the blech back then, cut them, was to minimize the fire, and ours don't. Fine. But there's another eitzah. Besides the garf cut them, Rechananya says that as long as the food is already cooked, it's already cooked enough that's edible, you're not going to be so stressed to make it cook more to stoke the coals because already it was cooking machamed asai. This is actually a machlaikis. It's a big machlaikis, Chananya and the Chamim, coming up in Daf Lamed Vav, Lamed Zayin, later in about 15-20 blah in this Masechta. The Maisa, our Mishnah, we're saying sounds like Chananya. Amr Blazar Amrav, the way we're explaining it, or not a Mishnah, but the way we're teaching up what's called Kadesh Yitzil in a Mishnah, we're teaching it like Chananya, that it's, as long as it's cooked Machamed Asai, therefore it's okay, according to Mishnah Meisil, to leave it. The Mepharshim point out it's not so. Our Mishnah could go even like the Chamim. Why? And they want to make a chiluk between, because Chananya is talking about cooking, and by Akira. You're cooking in a pot by Akira. Over there, Chananya says, Machamed Asai is enough, and the Chamim says not enough. By roasting, I'm not sure what the chiluk is. I didn't understand what the chiluk is, but the Rishonim do make a chiluk, and they say by roasting, maybe it's just the nature of roasted meats or roasted foods, because we're talking about eggs and onions as well. Roasted foods people eat more rare, but by roasting, our Mishnah by roasting, they want to say by roasting, tzaylin, even the Chacham would agree to Chananya that Kamach Ben Desai is enough. And you don't have to be concerned about stoking the coals. Again, the Chamu arguing Chananya in Parakira on this very specific din about not doing Shehiya. The Chananya says it's okay once it's Machamed Asai. The Chamu are going to say that it's not okay. You still need Garf Katam. You need to be cooked more, called Tzarkai. Machamed Asai is not enough. Those very same Chachamim would agree, the Rishonim speak out in our Mishnah by Tzaylin that Machamed Asai is enough, and therefore we don't have to say that our Gemara is explaining the Mishnah Dafka according to Chananya. Even the Bar Plugta, those who argue Chananya back later, would agree to the din over here. Ibayalu, Shaila. Tachtain. Sorry. We said the bread in the oven cannot be left there unless it's already browned. And Rabbi Elazar came along and said, has to be the bottom side was browned. And we spoke about before, what does that mean? The side that's closer to the fire or the side of the bread that's closer to the wall of the oven? Tachta means that which is close to the wall of the oven. Or it's the side closer to the fire. Tashema, so it's like the braisa, clear raya. Rabbi Elazar Eimer, kidei shikru panahum midbak mataner, that the face of the bread that's facing the oven, that's pasted against the oven, has to turn crusty. So according, Rashi explains what this means. It's Machlokes Rashi Tosfos, what it means. The general idea is the same. Rashi explains that the side of the bottom is the side facing the oven wall. The oven wall is further, it takes longer for that to heat up and get browned over the side facing the fire. It's open, the side of the open flame gets heated faster. So Blaz is being machmer and saying, it's not good enough to have the side facing the fire brown, or Tanakama didn't say any side. Tanakama just said, as long as the face of the challah is brown. So according to Tanakama, any side would have been enough. And Rabbi Elazar comes along and say that no, not only the side facing the fire, the side facing the wall, which seemingly would take longer, even that has to be brown, which is a chumrah. According to this, Rabbi Elazar, is a chumrah on the Tanakhama. Tosfos learned that it's exactly opposite. Tosfos learned that the side facing the oven, because the oven walls get hot and it's connected to the oven walls, it'll get brown faster. That's why it gets brown faster. He's being makel and saying brown. The side that gets brown faster, the side next to the oven wall, as opposed to Tanakhama that required the side closer to the fire. Okay, machlokes, which way it was Rabbi Elazar being machmer or not, but the general idea is still the overall idea is still the same. Sakmar vayta mishalshin. As a Pesach. We said you're allowed to lower the Pesach close to nightfall into the oven, even though it's not fully cooked. And we're not concerned you're going to stoke the coals. Why? Says my time, we spoke it out from Rashi already. Mishnah Dei Chabura is reasoning, because the members of the Chabura, Mezaris, they're Mezaris each other. They're careful to make sure no one Chalila is going to be Mechalal Shabbos. Okay. So to our Vaiter, Olav Haki Loi, ask the Gemara. One second. What is the animal used for Karban Pesach? A Gedi. It's a baby goat. We just said in yesterday's daf, we just referenced that the din of stoking the coals does not apply by a baby goat because you're not going to open the oven door to stoke the coals because the air, the draft, is bad for it. That is also protection. That's one of the exceptions we mentioned when we started the Mishnah. The Shulchan Aruch brings, you know, Kidra Chaisa, Kara Chaisa, or Gedi, an animal, if the draft is bad, there's no concern. You don't need Garfa Katam because you're not going to open the door to stoke the coals anyway. So what do you have to come out to Chabura? L'charit's a Gedi, v'amamar, Gadya ben Sharik, ben Lesharik, Shabbat Dami. By the case of Gedi, whether the oven is sealed or not, as long as it's in an oven, just to be clear, if it's on an open flame, that would be a problem. But as long as it's not an open flame, as long as it's closed, whether it's sealed or not, we don't need to be sealed. You're not going to open the door to let a draft in. Says the Gemara. So the Gemara really could have answered. We're talking about a gedi roasting on open flame, right? Bisra agruma on top of the coals, which was far the Gemara did bring yesterday. The Gemara says a different answer. Hasam, because this answer is true. Lemaisa, we'll point out something about this. Hasam minzach hachalim minzach. By the case of the baby goat meat, normally it's cut meat. Cut pieces of meat, the draft is troublesome for it. Hach, over here by the Karban Pesach, what do we say the halacha is? You're supposed to put it on a stick, the whole Karban Pesach intact, and you stick the kervayim inside, you're supposed to cook it on a spit intact. When it's cut on a spit, when it's being cooked on a spit intact, not cut into pieces, the ear is taka, not detrimental. Over there, you may still come to soak the coals. And therefore, we have to have a new mila of being baked together in a chabura. Chizkuni points out by the din of Karban Pesach, he points out that the dinei Torah by Karban Pesach were very specific to, I don't know if the word is, to stick it to the Goyim, to chepper the Goyim. Remember, the Gedi was the god of the Goyim. After Mitzrayim chepered the Yidden for 210 years, and they worshipped this false god, this Gedi, HaKadosh Baruch Hu specifically said, take the Gedi, tie it to your bedpost, Shabbos Agadol, tie it to the bedpost, 4 days early, on the 10th of Nisan, we tie the bed, Ramesh Yonah Diyayim coming up, you tie the gedi to the bedpost. It probably was not so geschmack to sleep with a gedi bang by your bedpost for 4 days. The purpose of doing it was because the goyim also knew about it. It made noise. They heard about it. And it was to show them that this is your God. This is what we're going to bring for our carbon. And then what did they do? They roasted it whole. You cut it up to pieces. It won't be as nicker than what are you roasting? You're roasting a gedi. It was very specifically roasted. First of all, he says it was also roasted when? Bein Arbayim. Why Bein Arbayim? Why in the afternoon? Because people are already coming home from the work. They're coming back from the fields and they're going to smell the waft and see the gedi in its entirety being baked. It was all there to show the goyim, this is what you think is your God, and this is what's going to be our carbon to the true God, to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So part of it was this exact idea that the gedi was roasted whole in order that should be very clear to the goyim that it is a gedi and not some other meat. Umachizat Asar, we said in the Mishnah.
That's one point. I mean, the Mishnah clearly says
Mishalshin
that it's talking about a tarnit. That's why we couldn't answer an open call.
Oh, you say why the word didn't. Enochrami. Well, Mishalshin. Mishalshin just means you lower. It means you lower into, right? Presumably lower. Correct. Presumably lowering into would mean some sort of a tan or some sort of oven. But yeah, but in the face of the question, I don't think it would be the end of the world to say you're lowering it onto coals. I don't think it would be end of the world to touch it that way, unless there's more in the Mishnah that's more clear. I don't think it's the end of the world. No, it says betaner. It says betaner. The Mishnah says betaner. It says Mishalshin B'taner. Correct. Mishalshin B'taner. Yeah, so that's why the Gemara couldn't answer, that you put it directly on the coals. Okay. Machizin S.R. We said in the Mishnah that you could ignite a fire on Friday night close to Samach HaShecha, and we're not concerned that the fire didn't take hold. That's only Dafka in the Beis HaMikdash. But Gvulin, we are concerned that you're going to stoke the coals to make the fire take shape. But in the Beis HaMikdash, not. Menon Emili. What's the source of this? Pnei Shua points out that the idea of the words Menon Emili are typically only used on deraisas. You have a din deraisa, so you say Menon Emili. On a din derabanan, which is this din is obviously this whole concept is a din you may come to do an Isra Shabbos, and then Darbanim we don't find typically Menon Emili. He wants to say that Menon Emili was actually Rav Huna, who's the Amira, was already speaking. It's like Amar Rav Huna, Menon Emili. An Amira could say, how do I know this? And bring a source. But the words from the Gemara's question wouldn't be Menon Emili on a rabbinic din to begin with. It wouldn't start off on a rabbinic din and say Menon Emili. It's Rav Huna started, even though the Gemara quotes him in the next word, he's talking already. Menon Emili, Amar Rav Huna. Rav Huna says, how do we know this? You cannot light a fire. Where? By the way, a reminder. The Isra of Havara of lighting a fire on Shabbos is one of two of the 39 malachas that are explicit in the Torah. The 39 malachas are learned out from Leisasa malacha, right? We learn out from you can't do malacha, daim it to the Mishkan, we learn out 39 malachas. Only two of them are explicitly listed in the Torah. What are those? We had one of them obviously early in the Pesach already, Haitza, and the other one is Leisavar Eish. Those are the only two that are explicit in the Torah, Haitza and Leisavar Eish. Not carrying from place to place and not having a fire. Says Rav Huna, the Lashon of Leisavar Eish is B'chomesh Veseichem. Dafka where you dwell, but not in the base of Midrash, which is not where you dwell, you could light a fire. B'chomesh Veseichem et Tamavir, Avat Tamavir, Maduris, Base of Maikin, and Base of Maikin, you could light a fire. In fact, tomorrow, whoa, according to this, the whole Isser of Havara doesn't apply in the base of Migdash, so then what are you talking about? Erev Shabbos, Samach HaChashecha. Shabbos itself. Maskel Erev Chizda, Yehachi, Afilu B'Shabbos Nami. Even on Shabbos also, you should be able to light a fire. Why on earth are you telling me Dafka close to Shabbos on Friday, even on Shabbos in the base of Migdash, where you're saying there's no Isser, you should be able to light a fire even on Shabbos? Elam Erev Chizda, Erev Chizda does not like the drasha of Huna. He qualifies and says, no, the pasuk is a very specific din. You're right, there's a deek there. The deek is just to enable to be makter the Evarim, Hekter Evarim V'Chalavim into Shabbos. Karakiyasa, Lemishe Evarim Upadarim Udasa, it's being makter that the parts of the carbon from Friday are able to go on the fire Friday night. They're able to, the Evarim Pedarim can remain on the fire Friday night. That is that drush for the pasuk. Don't tell me there's no Isser of Avar in the Beis Hamikdash. Avada in general, there is an Isser of Avar in the Beis Hamikdash. What's the reason why by Kehanim we're allowed to light a fire in Beis Hamikdash right before Shabbos? And even though it doesn't take hold and the fire barely started, you start it up and it's good enough. Whereas outside the Beis Hamikdash, you have to make sure the fire is fully lit. We said this before, because Kehanim's reasoning, the Kehanim was reasoning, the Kehanim were very careful. They're very zaris, and therefore we're not concerned they're going to stoke the coals. And we spoke out the chair. It sounds like it's even. Again, they kind of work together in the base of Middash, but it sounds like, unlike what we said before by the Chabura, by Pesach, where it's the group that makes this rizos, over here, the kind of individually are Zeres, and therefore there's no Gezerah, whereas private people in the private home, there's a concern, there's a Gezerah, they make up to stoke the fire in order to make it take hold. Big Chiddush, very big Chiddush, Kesef Mishnah, says this idea of Kanim's reason is the source behind Ein Shvus B'Migdash. We've pointed out in the past there's a concept that in the base of Migdash there's no Isser Rabbanan. Says the Kesef Mishnah, the idea of Ein Shvus Migdash, there's no Rabbanan to Migdash. Pashi would say, because maybe the Avodah of the base of Migdash, the Kedusha of the base of Migdash, it doesn't pass the Rabbanans in the house of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We don't allow the Rabbanans to get in the way of our Avodah. We know Avodah is Deicha Shabbos, right? Obviously, it's Din Torah. It's not considered B'Michal Shabbos. But the point is, in the base of Migdash, you don't have the Rabbanans getting in the way of Avodah. That's what I would have thought. Kesef Mishnah says, no, it's a din of Ein Shvus Migdash. Is because Kanam's reasoning. What's the nafkamina? Nafkamina is the chayr according to Kesef Mishnah, a Yisrael who's doing a job. Yes, he has a job. He's part of the Mishmar, and his job at the base of Migdash is part of the Maimed. Whatever his job is, requires malacha, malacha derabbanan, I'm sorry, shvus, the Yisrael would not be able to do it. Because the whole heter is, ain't shvus b'mikdash for kehanim. Kehanim's reasoning. If Yisraelim don't have that, maybe if they're in the presence of kehanim, it would be okay. But Pasha's idea is, according to Kesef Mishnah, it's the din of kehanim themselves, not the din of Yisraelim, so the din of ain't shvus b'mikdash wouldn't apply to Yisrael, only would apply to kain. Big, big chiddush qualification in the din of ain't shvus b'mikdash. Okay. Gvulin. Correct. That's not what the Gemara is saying. The Gemara is saying that you can put the Evarim and Pedarim on the Mizbeach. Lighting a fire in the Mizbeach.
The light went out on the Mizbeach, you would be allowed to light it, but it's saying that the base of Mike is that Taki had to do Erev Shabbos. Just without Glazer, then it has to be fully lit.
Right. If you had no light on the Mizbeach, and you need and you have Evarim and Pedarim that need to be burnt, that's correct. That's correct. Okay. Zak di Gemara Vayter. Uba Gvulin Kadesh Shateches. We said the Gvulin has to be the fire took hold. What's called, the Lashon of the Mishnah was Kadesh Shateches Beruban. Has to be the fire took hold of most of the wood. My Ruban. What is Ruban? Amar Rav, Rav Kolecha Bechad. Rav of each piece of firewood has to be ready lit. Ushmul Lamak Desh Leimru, Havi Eitz of Anan Echtachtehem. So the Machlaikas, Rav says Rav of each piece of wood has to be lit. Shmuel says, has to be that they're not saying, come, bring more wood to get this fire going. I mean, it has to be that the fire is sufficient. It's going to go by itself. You're not concerned they need to bring more firewood. Two different shiurim. Tana Rav Chiya l'siyud Shmuel. So Rav Chiya, unbelievable. Rav Chiya was a Tana. Right, Rav Chiya taught Braises. Rav Chiya was a Talmud of Rebbe. Rebbe had a few Talmidim. They were authors of the Braises. Levi, Chizkia, Rav Eishiya, Rav Chiya. Right, they were Rebbe's Talmidim. Shmuel came later. Rav was the first Amayra. Rav is Rav Tanu Palik, and Shmuel was a little bit younger than Rav himself. Right, but apparently, even so, Shmuel overlapped with the latest Tanayim, namely Rav Chiya, the later of the Tanayim. Rav Chiya was a Rebbe to Rav also. So Shmuel was a Talmud was. Argued on Rav a lot also, but it was younger than Rav. He apparently was around enough in the times of Rav Chiya that Rav Chiya brought a raya as a brice, brought a brice as a raya to Shmuel. We find elsewhere often that Shmuel quotes Rav Chiya. Maariv Chizkiya actually points out a different issue. I'm talking about from a historic point of view that the generations, Rav Chiya is pretty close to being a generation or two. He's definitely a full generation, maybe two before Shmuel, but they could have overlapped. I'm just pointing that out. Maariv Chizkiya says, takes issue, different problem. We know Rav maybe went to Eretz Yisrael. Shmuel, he learned by Rebbe. Shmuel, as far as we know, wasn't in Eretz Yisrael, and we don't know that Rav Chiya was in Bavel. So where was this, where were they interacting? We find many places that Shmuel quotes in the name of Rav Chiya, and here we find Rav Chiya being a raya to Shmuel. We don't seem to find that they interacted at all. They never met up in the same locations. Interesting that they're quoting or supporting each other from a distance. Okay. Tanar Rav Chiya, Maariv Chizkiya points out that maybe Shmuel, when he was younger, before he was the Rosh Hashiva of Bavel, maybe when he was younger, he learned in Eretz Yisrael and then went back to Bavel. That's what he suggests. Okay. Tana b'chik l'suya de Shmuel, k'dei sh'dei t'alevis ayla me'leh. It has to be enough that the fire goes up by itself. It has to be what's considered enough of fire that it's ready to go by itself and not that you need an assistance of something else, which is what Shmuel says. As long as people aren't saying, come bring other wood, that's already enough of a shear that it's lit. You know, people aren't being hasty to bring other wood. That's enough of a shear that you can leave it for Shabbos, and we're not concerned that the person is going to stoke the coals. This talk about even outside of the Beis Hamikdash. Eitz Yechidi says the Gemara, what if you have a big, thick piece of wood? What's considered lit enough that it's, you don't have to worry about someone trying to aid to get that to get it lit up on Shabbos? Rav Amar, Rav Avye, most of the thickness has to be on fire. V'amila, some say, Rav Akefa, as long as most of the circumference is on fire. It could be through and through, it's not on fire, but as long as most of the circumference is on fire. Amar of Papa, and this should sound familiar to the Olam, Hilkach bin a Rav Avye, bin a Rav Akefa. Therefore you need both. Remember, Rav says Rav thickness. Some say Rav said Rav of the circumference. Rav Papa says you need both. Look at the, you need both Rav the thickness and Rav the circumference. You need both. You can't have either or, you need both. Says, look at the Gilyan Hashas. The Gilyan Hashas just says, Rav Papa Hilkach. And the Gilyan Hashas points out, he shows, look at Gemara Chulin, look at Saita, look at Chulin, and my full disclosure, I did not go look up those Gemaras, but to me, my assumption is that he's bringing out the case where if Papa says Hilkach, he should do both. And the reason I didn't look up those Gemaras is because we don't have to go so far back. I'm not sure where the Ginnashas, if I'm right, I'm not sure where the Ginnashas didn't go back to what we just had in the end of Brachas. We had in the end of Brachas, we had a few Gemaras. I can think of at least two offhand. I think there's a third one as well, where the Gemara brought a discussion what the Lashon of Bracha is. Is it Kelai Dais? Or is it Rav Hayadayas? Is it Zeicha Bebrisai or Never Brisai? And what did Rav Papa say, Russell? What did Rav Papa said? Hilkach Neminu Tavaya. We do both. We do Kelaidas and Rav Hayadayas. We do Zeicha Bebrisai and Never Brisai. We do both. This Nanhaga of Papa was this Nanhaga of kind of peacemaker, of bridging both Shitas. So here too, he's bridging both Shitas. I'm guessing, again, I didn't look it up. I didn't have a chance to look up this morning, but I'm guessing that the beginning of Shas was referencing also this same idea in those other places that Rav Papa is the peacemaker. Someone would actually say, we know by seeing, we say the 10 sons of Rav Papa, he was Zeichet to have 10 sons, they were Chashev. The reason we Zeichet to have 10 sons was Chashev because he was always trying to make peace amongst the different Shitas. He was always trying to reconcile them instead of leaving a Machlekes. Ketanai, says the Gemara, this question of whether it's the thickness or whether it's the circumference is Machlokes Tanaim. Rav Chiya says, "Kedesh yishachis ha'is memalachas uman." A thick piece of wood has to be burnt enough that it can't be used by the uman anymore. Has to be that the fire grabbed it on both sides. So the two sides, the circumference, the thickness, that can't be used anymore, would be like the sheet that has to be thick through and through. Rave of the wood has to be caught on fire. Says the two ends the fire consumed. And the inside was very parched. Could it be fit for work? So that's a reference to these different madrigas of the fire of the wood consuming the fire consuming the wood. Says the Gemara, right there, we're going to focus from here to the end of the parak on different dinim of fire and wood. Says the Gemara, the pasuk says the ach was burning in front of him. It's a pasuk in Yom Yo. What does it mean? My ach, what's the word? Ach over here, my ach, amrav achvana. Ach means Achmana. What is Achmana? We'll see. Achmana is a willow. Achmana, it's going to come up again actually in the new, and we're going to finish the parak with him shortly. It comes up in the new parak as well, in the things of Mehmed Likin, Mehmed Likin. Achmana is willow. It's the willow branch. Ushmul Amr Shmuel says, Eitzim Shenuduk B'Achmana. It means sticks of wood that caught fire in B'Achmana, in Achtus, like Achmana, like brothers. They were together. Sticks of wood that caught fire together as a group. It's like a pyre of wood. That catches fire together. Hu damalu, there was a person who said to the people around him, "Man buy achvana, who wants to buy achvana?" Shtaka arvasa, and they found that what he's selling was arvasa. Arvasa was like willows, like Rav's taich that achvana is arvasa is willow. Amar Rav Huna, kanem ein tzrichen reiv. When you have reeds together and yet they're set on fire, you don't need rave for them to catch fire because they're very, when you have cut them, they're very flammable and they, once they're partially lit, they're going to continue to light by themselves. Similar to what we had in the Mishnah by coals. Agadan, tzrichin rave. However, that's only if the cut are loose. When you tie it together, it prevents the fire from getting inside in the inner side of the reeds, and therefore, over there, you have to have the fire hit rave before Shabbos. Garinim, ain't tzrichin rave. Pits, don't need rave because again, they as long as it's partially on fire, it's going to continue to be, it's very flammable, it will continue to burn on its own. Nasna b'cheisles, tzrichin rave. If you put it into a basket, a reed basket, then you need rave. If you put it into a basket, you need rave. We'll have, actually, this idea of cheisles comes up later in the Masechta. Cheisles comes up in a few places. Cheisles comes up that if you open up a cheisle, a sealed cheisle on Shabbos, is that considered a malacha? If it's something that's destined to be destroyed, it's not a malacha. Cheisles were destined to be one-time use. They're destined to be destroyed, and therefore it's not considered, that's the idea of opening up cans, opening stuff on Shabbos, you're creating a kli, but something which is one-time use, is going to be destroyed, that could be a kula, and open these things up. Ramesh's All the halachas of disposable items, he bases on this lashon, of course, of chayslas or the paiskim, that's the source for disposable items, the different leniencies that may be involved in these things. It's from this idea of chayslas. But again, over here, the point is when it's gathered in a basket, so again, it's gathered together, therefore it needs the fire to be shalot and rave. Maskar of Chizda, Adrab, he says it should be opposite. If Chabastavra, Kanam and Badram, when the reeds are loose, therefore you're scared that it may not, even if one catches fire, it may not catch fire to the rest. And therefore, you should eat mevadron. Therefore, it should require that the rave of them needs a fire. Agdon le mevadron. Whereas when they're together, it's not going to scatter. And once the fire hits part of it, it's going to hit the rest of it. So exactly opposite. Similarly, garinan mevadron. When the pits are separated, they may scatter, and therefore the fire may not hit at all. And he may end up stoking the coals. He may end up stoking the pits in order to make the fire hit at all. Whereas nasim mechayslas le mevadron. Whereas when it's a basket, it won't scatter. And therefore, you don't need rave. So he says exactly opposite. Imranami. We have a price of backing up the first mahalach. Am Rav Kana tapav beis. Am Rav Kana kadam shagdam tzrichim rave. Reeds that are tied together need rave. Lo yagdan ain't tzrichin rave. When they're tied together, it needs rave. When it's not tied together, it doesn't need rave. So that goes back like the first opinion, not like the most recent opinion. Garinim tzrichin rave again, loose. Actually, over here, so this is a change. By garinim, it goes like the second opinion. Tzrichin rave. By garinim, it requires rave. However, nasim b'chaislas, when it's together in a basket, ain't tzrichin rave. It doesn't need rave. So this itmar is partially like the first opinion, partially like the second opinion. Tanya Rav Yosef, arba maduris ain't tzrichin rave. There are four types of fuels that don't need rave, shall zephes, pitch, shall gufres, sulfur, shall gvin of cheese, shall revav. Revav is like schmutz. Revav is grease, right? A Talmud Chacham is also to go with a revav, with a stain on his beged. It's grease. These things are very flammable, and therefore they don't need rave. Masisatana, av shall kasher, shall gvava. So to a fire of straw and stubble doesn't need rave because it's very flammable, and again, the fire will continue to go on its own. We're not concerned you're going to stoke the coals, stoke it to make it go further and be even avar. Amar Bechlan, eitzim shall bavel, ain't shichem rave. The wood of bavel does not require rave, because that wood also, again, the fire takes hold of it and it's very flammable. It does need you to aid it, and we're not concerned you're going to touch it on Shabbos. Maskar Beisav Mahi, what do you mean the wood of bavel? Ilema Silsi, if you're talking about these thin strips of woods that we use in bavel often, hashta psila, by a case of a wick of an oil lamp, the wick of the oil lamp is for sure flammable, more flammable than the psila. And yet, Amar Ula Madlik Tzarek Shadlik Brave Hayetze, when one's lighting a wick, it's got to be lit with Rave Yetze, Rave of the wick, it's out of the oil, has to already be on fire, otherwise it's a problem. So you see, it has to be properly lit even by wicks. So Kol Shekein, Silsi Mibayi, these thin strips of wood certainly should have to be rave lit. So what's so special about them? They're not better than the wicks. El Amar Yasef, Shucha de Arza is a type of cedar branch that was found in Bavel, a common branch of Bavel, which that was very flammable, and that, once it's lit, you don't have to worry about touching it on Shabbos. It's going to continue to burn on its own and going to continue to grow the fire. Rami Bar Abba Amar, Abba says, Zaza. It's referring to moss. It's not referring to a tree at all. The tree, I mean, the lesson was, the the wood of Bavel, the Eitz of Bavel is referring to moss, and the moss is very flammable, and over there, once it's lit, it's going to stay lit and continue to grow. We don't have to be concerned that the person is going to stoke the fire and try to grow it on Shabbos. Hadin L'chitzias Shabbos, new perek, famous idea, Zuck the Mishnah, by Memad Likim, what could you use to light for Shabbos Nech? So we went from what you're allowed to do on Erev Shabbos into Shabbos, and now we're discussing the Shabbos Neris, which the Gemara is going to discuss more about it, the idea with Shabbos Neris, but we light Shabbos. We light candles for Shabbos. What could you use to light candles for Shabbos? Now, the reason why something would not be good to use on Shabbos would be twofold. Either the reason is because it may be a wick that needs fixing. A wick that needs fixing is a problem, obviously, on Shabbos. You're getting involved with Avara. Or it's a fuel that smells, and you're not going to want to sit in the room with it, so it defeats the purpose of having a light if the fuel smells. That's going to be the two criteria of why something could or cannot be used on Shabbos. What could you use? What could you not use? You cannot use... Lechesh is a type of like cedar bast, nor some sort of flax or some sort of silk. These are wicks made from silk or flax or cedar bast. The Gemara doesn't ask exactly how you're getting the wick from cedar. Okay. Nor with the willow bast or the fiber from it's some sort of desert fiber. Nor with the moss, the sea moss. These things cannot be used for wicks. The problem is because these wicks will need tending to, and you make up to Avar Shabbos. These will have the first issue of having to tend to the wicks. Now we get to the fuels that aren't such good fuels, either because they don't draw into the wick properly, or because they don't smell good. You can't use pitch or wax. Wax is obviously going to be a big sugya. That's what we use till today. We use candles. Either use oil or use candles or wax. So what wax are we talking about is no good. That's going to be, it's the bottom of this oven. We'll deal with it tomorrow, Mitzvah Shem, about not using wax. Filet B'Shem and kick, filet B'Shem and Sreifa, not with kick oil, not with oil that has to be burnt. There's some din on this oil has a chiv Sreifa. Filet B'Aya, filet B'Chelev, not with the fat of a sheep's tail or with the, or with chelev, that's the fat of the animal, the fat that's usher. Nachum Amadi Aymer, Madlikim Bechelev Mavushal. He says that with a chelev that's already boiled, you can use as your fuel for your wick on Shabbos. The Chum Aymer, Echem Vushal, Echem Shem Mavushal, and Madlikim. My Chum is saying whether it's Mavushal or not, you cannot use it for the wick on Shabbos. There's a discussion in the Torah. The Torah brings, obviously it's Minik Ashkaz, Minik Svard. Svard seems to say Kegavna. Right, Sfarad says Kegavna, Arshul, they say Kegavna, Ashkaz says Madlikim. The Torah in Simon, Reish Ayin, he brings that the minig is to say Mamem Adlikim. It sounds like from the Torah, the minig was to say it after Myriv. After Myriv, he's to say Mamem Adlikim. Why? And the reason is because we're going to come up later in these Mishnayos, where part of Mamem Adlikim is, you say the Nusach of Isartem, Iraftem, Adlikos Ner. There's the three things you're supposed to call out on Erev Shabbos. Did you take Meiser? Because you can't take Meiser on Shabbos. Did you make an Erev? And did you light the Ner? It's time to light the Ner for Shabbos. So he's to call it out on Erev Shabbos. Therefore, Friday night, we say it. The Torah actually says on Yom Tiv, when Shabbos falls out, Friday was Yom Tiv. So you already had to have done Isartem and Iraftem before. Four, you don't say Mamem Adlikim on a Friday night that's Yom Tiv already. That Yom Tiv was already on Friday because you already have a Sartim Raftim Likas Ner already took, not Likas Ner, but the other two already took place, and therefore you don't say it. What's interesting is the Torah says the time to say it after Meiriv. If the whole idea is for Sartim Raftim Likas Ner, it would make sense to say it earlier, which is when the Ashkaz do say it. They say it right before Meiriv. It makes sense that one should be saying it even before Meiriv, even before Shkia. That would make sense. That would be the time that one should be saying it. Let's just start very briefly. The Gemara, I know we have to daven. Let's say one or two lines. Lechesh, Shucha de Arza. Lechesh is the bark of a cedar tree. Shucha de Arza, it's Balmu. It's wood. How could you use that for a wick? Answer the Gemara, I'm Nasad Ispe. We're talking about inside the wick, there's like a woolly type of material. Inside the cedar, that's what you're using for the wick. What does it mean? Chaysin? It means little flax, little hairs of flax. It says the chaysin should be for nairis. It sounds like the chaysin should be for nairis, but the chaysin itself is not the nairis. It's talking about flax that was beaten, but it wasn't combed yet. That should not be used for the wicks on Shabbos. We'll have to resume.